everybody's mind is on the advent of Jesus Christ into the world. Or I say everybody's mind's not on it, but it is that season. And a lot of people who don't think about Christ any other time during the year, other than maybe Easter, are thinking about that, or at least exposed to it at some level, just because of the culture. And like Brother Jerry said, the culture is even moving away from that. My thoughts have been around a question. And the question is, why was it so important for God to become a man? You think about it. Why did God, why was it even necessary for God to become a man? And the incarnation of Christ is always at question, in question. It was then and it still is. The incarnation of Christ and His advent into the world, His coming into the world, His appearing on earth, was long prophesied throughout the Scriptures, the Old Testament. It was prophesied that the Messiah would come. Messiah means, that word means King of Israel. It means potentate or anointed. And it was long prophesied that He come. And we sang songs about the beautiful star of Bethlehem. You see Christmas cards with this great star over this eastern country that's bigger than all the other ones and brighter than all the other ones. And yet, that prophecy was very obscure. There was only one mention of that star in Numbers, the book of Numbers. And do you know who prophesied of that?
Balaam.
That old prophet. It said that a star would rise, I believe it was out of Israel. It didn't say Israel. What was Israel's name? Jacob. A star would rise out of Jacob. Such an obscure verse in the Scriptures. And yet we sing songs about it. And at the time of when that star appeared, remember those wise men? How many wise men were there? How many? That's what everybody says, but the Bible don't say there was three. We assume that there was three. Huh? Because of the gifts that they brought. That's why we assume that there's three. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's how the culture can change your mind about what's really in the Scriptures. Right? Every time a wise man is mentioned, at Christmas time, there's always three. The Bible never says that. Don't be influenced by the culture. You influence the culture. Amen. Now, these three wise men, I want you to think about this now. These three wise men, these magi, they were in the east when they saw the star. And they were astrologers, and they viewed this star as something new. Now, the stars don't change much when you look up at the sky, do they? They don't change much. But if you were an astrologer and were stargazing every night and studied about these things, these men saw a star appear, a new star appear, and they immediately knew what it was. They said, "We've seen his star appear in the east." And they came and they asked Herod, and they knew what that star meant. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They knew that that star was foretelling a fulfillment of the prophecy spoken of by that prophet. Now, they were searching diligently and looking for that prophecy. They were looking for the fulfillment of that in their star, in that star. And what an unbelievable small thing. And yet, it had great implications. I'm sure that if a small star would appear, would you know that it was up there? I wouldn't. But people who navigate their lives by stars would notice. They would notice. Did you know that that star was their GPS? That's how they navigated in the olden days. They didn't have maps. They didn't have iPhones with Siri to give them directions where they were going. They navigated by the stars that God gave. And these wise men came and they inquired. And I'm just thinking about this, how amazing it would be to see a new star, and that this new star shone brighter than all the other ones. And apparently this star didn't just, it didn't move in the same tracks that the other ones did, because it said it stood over where the house was, where the child was born. That's amazing to me. A star. And you ponder about that, what that looks like. I don't know exactly what it looks like. But I know it was sufficient enough to guide those wise men to where Jesus was. He appeared, and all through the times of the prophecies, people were looking for him. Did you know that it was such a looked forward to event that even every Jew girl, Jew maid, was wondering whether she would be the one that was blessed to carry the Messiah? I mean, it was, you talk about a cultural thing, that was a cultural thing based on prophecy from God. That behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the declaration made by the angel to Mary. And it was a prophecy back in the Old Testament that was fulfilled in Christ. It was long prophesied, but it at this moment, at that moment, at his birth, it was witnessed. That prophecy was witnessed to have come to pass. The angel prophesied about it to Mary, to Joseph, to Elizabeth. And then when the time came, and she brought forth her son and laid him in a manger, the angels appeared to some shepherd boys out on the hill at night. What a great thing. Can you imagine the shepherds being out there cold in the middle of the night? And these glowing and glistering angels appearing. And what a terrible sight that must have been. But the message that these angels had for these shepherds said that for peace. Hold on, let me just read it. In verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I'd be sore afraid of that too. If I was used to being keeping sheep out in the middle of the night. Now I want you to remember that a shepherd in our day would kind of be like the garbage man or something. I mean, the person that gets paid 25 cents to empty all the garbage cans in the office. I mean, it's a menial task. It was not a very sought after profession because shepherds were poor. And they were the least esteemed of the profession. Remember who was the anointed one of Jesse's kids? You know who Jesse is, don't you? Do you know enough about the Bible to know who Jesse is? Jesse is King David's father. And Jesse, when what was his name, the judge? Anyway, he came over to see him, and he says, bring me your sons, one of them's going to be the king. And he paraded them all from the oldest to the youngest. And he said, this is not him. These are not him. Which one's going to be the king? And he said, are you sure you don't have any other kids? And he says, yeah, I got one more. He's the youngest. He's keeping the sheep out there in the field, but he's nothing. He said, you bring him up here. He said, this is God's man right here. The shepherds. God appeared to them. The angel appeared to them and said, listen here. I mean, get this. It's at night and these shepherds are out there, you know. They didn't have cell phones to keep them busy, did they? I'm sure they, even if they were together, they were just talking about what shepherds talk about, I guess. Which is not much, probably. I get the view of maybe three or four cowboys out on the range, out in the middle of nowhere, with nothing but their cows around. But stars all over. And the heavens open up. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Did you know the word Christ means anointed? This Savior was anointed the Lord. His name was Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. Jesus anointed. He's the anointed one. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I would have liked to have seen that, wouldn't you? I would have liked to have seen the angel declare unto me and some of my fellows that there's a baby born and he's the Savior. And then I would have enjoyed greatly to see a heavenly host worshiping and praising God, because then I'd know maybe a little bit better how to do it myself. Can you just imagine the heavenly hosts who are in the presence of God appearing to men in worship? Not of men, but of Jesus. What a great thing. That would have been amazing to me. Now, but why? You know, it's a strange thing though to angels as to why God would take on human flesh. It's a strange thing to them, and they desire to look into the things that we're doing today in worshiping Him. Angels, ministering spirits of God. Jesus was prophesied that He would come in the flesh. And this prophecy was waited patiently on by some, and it was scoffed at by others. When He actually came, it was witnessed by Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, the angels, the shepherds. The wise men saw His star, and He was born in a manger. You know what that is? It's a feeding trough for animals in a barn. That's what it is. It's where they put the hay and stuff so the animals can eat it. After His birth, it evoked much joy and worship and wonder at some. And it evoked a response of anger, deceit, and attempted murder by some. You see the response. King said, the King Herod, when those wise men came and said, we've seen His star in the east. Where is He born? Where is He born? He said, where is He at? Where is He that's born King of the Jews? And the king didn't know it. He said, you find out, you come back and tell me that I may worship Him too. Did King Herod want to worship Jesus? No, he wanted to put Him to death. And he wanted to put Him to death so bad, you know what he did? He sent out a decree that in all of the land, every child from 2 years and under should be killed. Did you know that? Ungodly men do ungodly things.
Right.
But ungodly men don't have more power or more smart than the Son of God. And God warned him in a dream, Joseph in a dream, and he fled to Egypt. Did you know that the Lord spent some time in his early years in Egypt? Yes, he did. Now, why was it so important, though, that Jesus come in the flesh? First of all, I want to go through some places that talks about Jesus being it being prophesied and it being just understood that the Messiah was going to be born in the flesh. Do you know 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 47 says the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Did you know there are only two principal men that really matter? Only two. Adam the first and Adam the second.
Right.
The first man, Adam, what happened to him? Well, he was created a good man. He was created a naturally good man. And God estimated him as good. I didn't. God did. What happened to Adam? He fell. What did he fall in? He fell in sin. And because he did, you did. But the second man, Adam, took on flesh. He had to take on flesh. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The second man, I want to establish the fact that God became a man. The second Adam was from heaven above. And he degraded, really, himself to live on this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. This is all going to tie into what we've been talking about for the past 5 weeks or so. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's amazing, isn't it? God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Well, you talk about a summary of the life and purpose in Jesus Christ. There it is. That's a lot of stuff. But God was manifest in the flesh. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Where are you going to get the testimony of Jesus? It's in the church. I am the root. Y'all get this. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. What is Jesus? He's both the root and the offspring of David. What does that mean? That means that he was before David was, and he's an offspring of David. Y'all get that? He's the root of David. That's amazing to me how Jesus works both ends, and he was always both ends, but he's the root of David, and David was a type of Christ, and yet Christ came and was born in the lineage of David to fulfill all the prophecies about himself. That's amazing to me, isn't it? It's amazing to me. I hope it's amazing to you that he's both the root and the offspring of David. That means he came in his lineage. You know, they put a lot of stock in King David, didn't they? Those Jews, they put a lot of stock in King David. Jesus says, I'm the root of David. So we're establishing that God was manifest in the flesh by more than one verse. There's countless verses that talk about it. I'm just going to give you a few more. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And when Jesus departed thence, it's in Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. You know, it wasn't just the people that were born or that had the prophecy that talked about it, but it was these people that believed the prophecy and that this was the Son of David. And they, you remember what they shouted when He had His triumphal entry or exit into Jerusalem? You remember what that, when they had the Feast of the Tabernacles and they put their coats and palms in the way? You remember what they hollered? They said, Hosanna unto God in the highest. And He said, Thou Son of David. They called Him the Son of David. Isn't that great? That these people recognized that this man Jesus was the Son of David, fulfilling all the prophecies about the Messiah. Now, isn't that great? They said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, why did God have to become flesh? Why did He have to become a man? Couldn't God save all of His people without it? If there was another way, He didn't take it. If there was another way, He didn't choose it. He couldn't just sweep it under the rug. Don't you like to sweep stuff under the rug? I do. I sweep stuff under the rug all the time. God can't sweep stuff up under the rug. There was an offense made in the garden by that first man. And justice demanded payment. And Adam could not pay what justice demanded. He didn't have the currency to pay what he lost. If I owe someone a debt in another country, and they don't have dollars, or they don't use dollars, I've got to go to that country and pay off the debt with their own currency. Let's look at Romans 8 and 3. Let's look at... I really want us to focus for just a little while on why Jesus had to come in the flesh and what He accomplished in the flesh. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, what did He do? He condemned sin in the flesh. That's one reason why He had to come in the flesh, was to condemn sin in the flesh. Colossians 1 and 22. In the body of His flesh, through death, what else did He accomplish? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's why Jesus came in the flesh, and he died to present you holy in the sight of God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
What a Savior we have. Man, I tell you, Hebrews chapter 2 and 14, time's slipping. I've got to get through all these because these are good. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He's talking about flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, that is the devil. That's another reason why Jesus had to come in the flesh, was to destroy him that had power over death. To show by his resurrection from the dead, to show that he had more power than Satan did over death. The grave couldn't hold him. Man, I tell you, that's great. I tell you, all these graves out here in the graveyard, they're holding all those people out there because they were sinners, my friends. But Jesus Christ, the sinless man, the second man, he died to destroy death, and the grave couldn't hold him. We're going on into Easter now, ain't we? Hallelujah. It ain't just Easter.
Amen. That's right.
He told King Herod. King said, "Art thou a king then?" He said, "To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world." His death was the cause why he came into the world. Because of all the things that his death would accomplish. 1 Peter 3 and 18. For Christ also hath once, amen, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hallelujah. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's another reason that he came in the flesh, that he might bring us to God. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
He didn't say, "I'm going to put it out there and they can come if they want to." He said, "He's going to bring us to God." I like that. When I bring something to somebody, I physically pick it up and transport it from that place to the other place. I bring it to them. Amen. Jesus is bringing us to God. I love that. Now, Ephesians 4 and 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Aren't you glad about that? That's another reason why God had to come in the flesh, was to lead captivity captive. You know what that means? Let's say, I remember one time my brother was on the bus, and me and my brother fought a lot, you know, when we were young. And my brother got in there, and he was, there was a boy was beating him up pretty bad. And I was bigger than everybody, you know, my age anyway. That boy had him, he was whooping him pretty good. And I just reached down and I grabbed that boy's neck. I was in probably a freshman in high school at that point. I reached down and grabbed the boy's neck and I just picked him up. And my brother was able to get up. You see, the thing that was holding my brother captive, I took captive. That's what Jesus did. He led captivity captive. That boy wasn't going anywhere unless where it was I wanted him to go. I led him away from my brother. Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's another reason why he had to come. And God manifest in the flesh was to lead captivity captive. Amen. I like that. I like that. Now, And then he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's a question. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's another reason that Jesus Christ came and manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh was that he might fill all things, fulfill all things. Aren't you glad he came in the flesh? Are you learning anything today? I hope you are. But still, it begs the question. I mean, we get all these, and that's all good stuff, and it's wonderful stuff. Sometimes the preaching might have a little lack of application to our lives. It might be a little bit hard to understand. Why did God have to come in the flesh? I want to tell you a story. There was a man and a woman and family that lived in a farming community out in the country. And it was this time of year, and it was on a Sunday, I guess, or one evening. And the woman was a believer. She took her children to church and all. And her husband was a staunch unbeliever. And his question, or she said she was inviting him to church all the time and he didn't go. He was beneath him. He thought, why in the world would God be made a man? Why was that? Why? And so came this time of year, and she said, come, they're going to talk about Jesus being born at church. They're going to talk about Jesus. And he said, why in the world does God become a man? And he didn't go with her. After she left, there was a blinding snowstorm that come in. And the man built a fire, was warming himself to fire, and was about to sit down and relax. And he heard a on the door. A thud on the door. Him being out in the country and farm in the blinded blizzard, he thought, what in the world is that? So he opened the door. And he looked out, and there was a whole flock of geese, disoriented, flying low in circles and out his door, out in the yard field there. And he thought, well, they've become blinded and disoriented in this blizzard. And he had some compassion on them and said, if they don't get in, they're probably going to die. And so he went out to the barn, got his coat on, and went out to the barn and opened the barn door and had a little light and said, surely if I open the door, they'll go in there. Well, they just kept on disoriented, flying around over there, and they didn't even seem to bother about him. So he said, I'll go and I'll try to get their attention. So he walked up closer to them and said, hey, the barn, come on, follow me. And they scattered and kept on being disoriented and flying low. Then he thought, if I don't get them in the barn, they're all going to die. He thought, kept on thinking in his head, I will go and I'm going to try to lead them with a trail of breadcrumbs. You know, that's always a good idea. So he took some bread and
threw it out there and left the trail and went back in the house and was looking out the window, and still they're just out there disoriented, flying around low. The bread didn't work. And then he said, well, I'm just going to go shoo them in there. So he snuck around the house and went back and started to shoo them back like that, and it just didn't work. And they just scattered again, and they were just disoriented, honking aimlessly. And then he realized, he said, if only I were a goose, I could lead them in. And so he went to his barn and he got his own goose. And he snuck around the back. And it left the barn door open. Of course, that goose was come from a warm barn and it was out in the cold, and it thought, man, I'm going to get back to my warm place. So it flew straight into the barn. And all the other geese, one by one, followed it into the barn, and they had shelter. And then the man, it made such an impression on the man that about his attitude, about how he wouldn't go to church because he had disdain for the idea about God becoming a man. He hit his knees in the snow and said, I thank God that you came to be a man, because I couldn't. There were no way for me to get to where you are without being taken there by Jesus.
Right. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Worship Him. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. For those who wish to follow Him, may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.